I don't think I realized how much guilt I was going to carry for months after his birth, though. I mean, I would say a good solid year, I carried just this guilt from all the emotions that I had towards him during pregnancy. And then, you know, it was just so conflicting because I was like, I just love you so much. I can't even believe I ever like had these things running through my mind. So, you know, that's just, it's challenging. And I feel like a lot of people go through that, which is why we want to address it.
Welcome. You're listening to the Love That Surpasses podcast. And I'm your host, Sarah Lowry.
And I'm your co-host, Megan Bushalon.
Take a seat and join in as we share our hearts and experiences surrounding parenthood, disabilities, and God's calling on our lives to live victoriously, fearlessly, and free.
You'll hear conversations about expectations, grief, jealousy, but also surrendering our lives and stepping into our God-given purpose with courage.
We're so glad you're here today, and we hope you feel abundantly loved because, well, you are.
All right. Welcome. You're listening to episode 4, Unrelenting. Yes. Unrelenting Guilt. I'm so excited. If you've made it this far, that's cool. We're really excited that you're here. So we're going to be talking about guilt and the guilt that we carry. And what's the root of that? So let's kind of dive deep into that. Sarah, I would love for you to kind of start with your story about kind of why are we talking about this? What was your personal experience with guilt? Because this is a real, this is something that we've carried with us with many different things in our lives, with our children specifically. And I think it's such an important topic. So important though that, you know, I'm surprised that we'll get all this into one episode, right?
Yes, this is a very deep, deep, deep topic, especially for me, because for those of you who might just be joining in for the first video, I received a prenatal diagnosis at 12 weeks for my son for Down syndrome. That was really a very challenging part in my life, probably one of the hardest things I've ever went through. And, you know, there were so many thoughts of fear surrounding that. And not only that, but even before we found out about his diagnosis, I already initially started having these thoughts of, you know, these second time parent thoughts, because I have an older daughter. Like, how am I going to love another child as much as I love my daughter Hayden? And I feel like a lot of parents go through that. My dad said he felt the same way when they found out that they were pregnant with my brother. They were like, I just don't know if I can love another child as much as I love Sarah. So that gives me a little bit of comfort that most parents go through these emotions. But then to add a diagnosis of Down syndrome, or, you know, just anything wrong, heightens that fear a ton. Will I love him? You know, how will he fit into our family? So I just had so many thoughts running through my head all the time. And the second he was born, and most parents who have a prenatal diagnosis will say this, it's just so full of this fear of, will I love my child when they're here with this diagnosis? And a lot of people say, as my experience, that as soon as he was put into my arms, it was like, oh my goodness, I cannot even believe that I thought that I wouldn't love him. Like, he is just the bomb.com. Like, I was so smitten, and it was like this just built up love that I feel like I was protecting myself from experiencing and holding back, that just came like crashing and smothering onto me as soon as I held him. I was like, he's perfect. He is perfect. And me and my husband, like, as soon as they pulled him out, like, we knew for sure that he had Down syndrome, because all the NIP stuff is just screenings. We didn't do an amniocentesis for like confirmation, but yeah, it's something that I had to process a while, months after he was born. And I feel like looking back, I very much overcompensated for, you know, the emotions that I had during pregnancy. And I carried so much guilt. Here's Clyde.
Hey, the only reason my pet isn't in the screen is because I before I got on, I was like, don't you get up here. You stay down there. And she's passed out on the floor in front of me. But
well, he'll probably make another appearance.
Yeah, that's all right.
As I've talked about before, I have a Bengal cat who is very needy.
So you have a cat. I have a dog. So we're you know, not that I don't like cats, but I'm definitely more of a dog person. And so let me know, anybody here, are you a cat person? Or are you a dog person?
Yeah. What's your preference? Who wins that? Comment below. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Cats, definitely.
Okay. So back to what you were saying, you were talking about, you know, we're at the place of where he was born. We're kind of at that part, right?
Yeah. I don't think I realized how much guilt I was going to carry for months mm-hmm. after his birth, though. I mean, yeah. I would say a good solid year, I carried just this guilt from all the emotions that I had towards him during pregnancy. And then, you know, it was just so conflicting because I was like, I just love you so much. I can't even believe I ever like had these things running through my mind. So, you know, that's just, it's challenging. And I feel mm-hmm. like a lot of people go through that, which is why we want to address it.
Yeah. I know for me, when my Eli was born, there was a lot, and we touched on this in a previous episode. But I remember going through a roller coaster because, I mean, this is already, your body is going through so much already. So there has to be a little bit of grace there in those moments. But when he was born, I remember thinking, this is my fault. I shouldn't have allowed them to take him early. He was taken at 37 weeks. They were wrong. They got it wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I should have said no. You know, I shouldn't have had a C-section. I should have kept him longer. He would have been safer inside of me. Maybe somehow that cleft palate. Is Dallas making breakfast?
No, it was my coffee maker.
That's so funny.
Alive people.
Right. I came in, actually, speaking of dogs and coffee, I came in just a minute ago, rushing home to hurry and get ready for this podcast. My coffee maker was on the floor. I don't know. I think there was cookies on top of the coffee maker and maybe Haley was trying to get to them. So, hopefully she didn't break it, but anyways, so back to what I was saying, I remember feeling like I should have kept him inside of me longer. Like he would be safe there. I remember feeling real guilt about, you know, how when you're at that part in your pregnancy towards the end, you're just like, get this kid out of me mm-hmm. now. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm ready to be done with this. And I remember feeling like, why would I say something like that? I'm a horrible person for saying those kinds of things. I shouldn't, I should be grateful that I had that time and that he was safe and he wasn't struggling and he wasn't hurting. And, you know, and I felt like, oh, I should have gone here instead. I shouldn't have come to this hospital. I should have, you know, I should have done better. And they're just trying to take on these responsibilities that were completely out of my control. And, I really struggled with that. And thankfully there were some really sweet people who worked at this hospital who really helped me in those situations along with my husband. I remember there was a lady there who, she would bring the food and she would come in, and I was never there because I was always down in the NICU with my son. So I never took my medicine. I was always in so much pain. I could barely keep my head up, my eyes open when I was laying over with my son, like, cause that was the only time I could sleep was when I was with him. And, so she knew, from some of the orders that I'd done in the past, like what were some of my favorites. And so sometimes she would try to make sure I got my favorites. And if she wasn't sure, she would give me duplicates or like get me different options and she would leave it there for me. And she would leave me a little note like, hey, you know, I wasn't sure if you'd want a cookie or a brownie. So I gave you both and I hope you enjoy them and you hope you have a good day. Just like that little extra touch. Mm. I remember coming in and I saw that and I just cried because, you know, it was hard when all this was happening, then, you know, feeling like some of the staff wasn't meeting his needs or wasn't giving him the attention and the individual care that he really needed. And I felt so alone in that. And this lady came and she did just something so simple, really cared about me. And I bawled, I cried, and she came in the room to pick up the food. And I remember telling her, I was like, thank you. Like, this is the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. And I just remember being so appreciative. And she started crying. And I was like, you have no idea what that little tiny act did for me in this time, because this is a very tough time for me. And I'm dealing with a lot of guilt. I'm dealing with a lot of frustration. I'm dealing with so much right now. And that right there was just a little bit of like, hey, you know, someone here cares about you and loves you and wants you to be okay. And so anyways, I wanted to point that out, because those little acts of kindness really go a long way in those really tough moments for us. And so, to make a long story longer, I dealt with guilt in that way too, with his birth. But, you know, it comes and goes as he's gotten older. And we talked a little bit about this on the way here. I called Sarah because my son just left his appointment today. We had a hearing examination. And if you listen to a previous podcast episode, you'll know that I recently moved from Georgia to South Florida. And I will say the area that we're at, we have a lot more resources and a lot more opportunities for our kids, which is a big reason why we made this decision to move. And so thus we have a greater team for my son. And because of that, we were able to get some answers that we haven't been able to get anywhere else. I had
so,
a lot of doctors.
So amazing. That's such a blessing.
Right. Bittersweet too. And we'll kind of jump into that, but it was tough because I had so many doctors saying, oh, he's fine. He's fine. Hearing screening. He's passed it. He's good. Why would you say that? Obviously he's good. And I remember being like, okay, well, I guess it's fine. But as time would go on, I'm like, no, something isn't right. And I know this. And I just,
that mama gut.
It's not good enough. Your answers are not good enough for me. So I was very adamant about seeing this team. And thankfully, because we did, we now know that he needs hearing aids and he does need some further assistance in school, along with speech therapy and everything else. So, you know, with that is bittersweet, because there's a part of me that's like, thank God we finally got the answers. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me here so that I can meet with this team and get his needs met. However, I should have caught this sooner. I feel guilt that, you know, why didn't I push harder earlier on? There's this guilt of like, I could have done more, but at the same time, I'm also like, that's right. I didn't take no for an answer. Like, so it's just this roller coaster of emotions where it's like, okay, wait, that's not true. This is actually what happened. The devil's trying to like just derail me. And thankfully, because of Sarah and then the school that my son goes to, he goes to a Christian academy. And so the staff there is just, they have a Christ-like view on everything. And so they met me outside and they talked with me about it. And of course, how they're going to partner with me and Eli and his education, but also they were just speaking life over my son. Like, God's going to use this. You're going to see something miraculous happen through your son. You know, he's going to use his speech. He's going to use his hearing. He's going to use these things that, you know, one of those verses, right, that I mentioned earlier is in Genesis 50:20. And it's, you intended to harm me. You meant this for evil. You meant this to destroy me. But God intended it for good and to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And we've talked about this too before with you, Sarah, too. And
this is one of the first phone calls I remember, like where I was sitting after work and I was talking to you about the nonprofit and where we were going and, you know, just telling you for the first time ever, like my story that I hadn't really told many people. And you spoke that word, that verse over me. He said, this verse reminds me of, you know, your story, and I'll never forget that. So that verse is really important to me.
Yeah. I love that verse. That verse just,
and I can relate a lot to you as well. Like just the feeling of like, this is my fault because after I had Emmett, you know, and I posted a reel about this on Instagram too, just, and it got a lot of comments from other families who, you know, they don't have a diagnosis of Down syndrome for their child. They have something else and they could also relate, just the feelings of, this is my fault. I caused this over my child. I did something wrong in pregnancy, or I didn't eat this, or I went through a phase of, I just had to know the answer. I had to know why this was happening to me.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? And, of course, I never felt any peace or rest about that until one day I was listening to a sermon and it was talking about, the parable of the blind man and Jesus healing the blind man. It's in John, and the disciples are gathered around Jesus and they say to Jesus, they said, who sinned to cause this man to be blind from birth? And this resonated with me so much because Emmett was born with Down syndrome. And so, and Jesus just looked at them and they said, no one sinned, not his family, you know, not the man. This was for the glory of God to be shown through this man. And that, I just wept when I heard that. God just blanketed me with that glory of, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And, you know, some things are just meant for his glory. And I'm so thankful for that grace because I was finally able to move on from that, that need and that want that was just looming over me.
Yeah. And, we've talked about this too before, about how sharing these types of feelings with one another and these fears and these doubts and, these feelings of guilt, because, it's interesting. And I say this to my husband all the time. And it's a, I don't know where I heard the quote, but it's so much bigger inside. It's so big what you're feeling and this lie that you've got here in your heart, in your head. But as soon as you say it out loud, it gets a little smaller. It seems a little more ridiculous when you say it out loud and you're just like, yeah, you know, I did this. And then it's like, did you, you know, and if you say these things out loud and actually talk with somebody about it and share these feelings, you start to realize this is not true. This is not what God says about me. This isn't, you know, what really happened. Like, okay, talk this out with someone, talk it out with Jesus and say these things out loud. And they lose their power when you let them out and let people in instead of holding on to those feelings of guilt and shame and just anger.
And these lies in our head, they seem so much bigger because who are they coming from?
Yeah.
Who is the father of lies? You know, and just speaking that out loud and saying, this is not true. I'm not partnering with these lies that you're feeding me, because often, you know, the enemy's lies, they sound like the voice in our own head and they press in. But as soon as you acknowledge that, hey, this isn't from God. This isn't what I truly think. This is just something that is feeding me noise and I'm going to shut it down. And once you acknowledge it and you say, I'm not partnering, be gone. Like, this is not true. And you speak that truth, God's word. This is what God says. It's gone. Like,
yeah,
we don't have to stay there. That is the most important part. We don't have to stay there and keep partnering with these lies.
I think what's something really too is important to recognize in guilt is where it's rooted. It's really fear-based. Absolutely. And I feel like that's something to help you recognize where that lie is coming from and what is true and what is not, because oftentimes the devil uses the tactic is fear. And, you know, you have fear like, you know, oh, my son's going to get picked on because he has a hearing aid. You know, I have these fears of like, I could have done something different. And this is, I should have done this. I should have done that. And you're afraid that like, this is something that you caused. None of us want to feel that way. And so there's a lot of just fear that, that surrounds all of that. And so I feel like once we recognize that it is fear, and that's something too, like I remember with you and I, anytime that we talk about anything and it's like, you know, I'm just worried that maybe this, or like, should I do this? Because, you know, I'm worried it might be blah, blah, blah. I'm afraid it might be doing this. And what do we always tell each other? It's don't do something out of fear.
Absolutely.
Right? Don't decide I'm not going to do this out of fear, or don't do something because out of fear, you know, don't let fear be your reason to do or not do something. And so, don't let fear be the reason why you, you live in this place of, where that desolate pit, like we talked about in the previous episode, you put yourself there because you decide to remain there, or you decide to not let people in. You decide to not have these conversations. You decide to not lean on Jesus because it's like, you know what, I'm just so consumed by my fear. I'm so consumed of what the expectations I had for my life. I'm so consumed by the shame that I feel. And, you know, you kind of lose yourself in that. And so anyways, I really wanted to bring up fear, because I feel like that's just such a key piece in all
this.
I just had
something else come to mind too. You know, as we've shipped out these bags of hope, we receive emails of family stories. And I was just reminded of how sometimes, you know, it is known that individuals with trisomy 21, like a lot of the times it is kind of blamed on the mother being older,
yeah,
or being like an egg issue. And I have had some families reach out and say, like, you know, my partner kind of blames me, like they're holding me guilty for the cause of this action. And what would you say to families who, you know, they might not be carrying, a mother might not be carrying the guilt, but the partner might be carrying a guilt and holding a guilt over that other person?
That's something, you know, that's a really good point, because then that's very more external. It's something that is not so much you that's saying those things. And that can be even harder, I think, to get past, because it's somebody that you trusted, somebody that you love and you care for, and they're coming at you. And all the more, I feel like you're going to want to believe those things.
And you're going to start carrying that guilt when you weren't before.
Right. And I think an important thing to recognize in that is the very same thing that we talked about before. Where is that coming from? You know, is that a fear-based thing? You know, is what they're saying coming out of love, coming out of kindness and understanding? You know, is this rooted in truth? I mean, this is also, you, aside from the spiritual aspect of all of this and what the Bible says, there's very scientific things. Is it based on facts? Is it based on their own understanding or their own guilt and shame? Because they've been walking through their own stuff and they need somebody to blame for this. They need somebody to be angry at in order to be able to cope with what they're feeling. So I would say it's important for you both to talk about those things and maybe even talk with somebody else too. Talk to other family members who've gone through this. And, you know, the more people that you have involved in your lives who not only have a Christ-like view and who can speak life and truth into your life, but also just to relate and to say, well, actually, this is really what happens. This is what I discovered with my family and my kids. And this is the information and the resources that we were given. This might actually help you to get some answers. So it's just about opening up and talking about this stuff with anyone and everyone. Don't be afraid to do that. You know, it's funny because I remember seeing a post once where this lady commented on another lady's post where she was sharing her son's disability and struggles. And it was about people being hateful towards their child because of their physical differences, because of, you know, whatever it was. I remember the mom said, I've stopped sharing and talking about my child because people are so cruel. And I can't, you know, it just is too hard. I can't hear these things. And I remember commenting on that. And I was like, don't let those people keep you from speaking about the blessing that you have in your life. You should be able to shout it from the rooftops. It's very obvious that those people, they're the ones that have the real issues, right? But, exactly. I was like, don't, don't stop speaking about these things, because we have to keep talking about this stuff. We have to keep talking about our experiences and our kids and everything else. Like, we need to let other people know so people don't feel alone. People don't start believing these lies because they're not hearing it from other people. They feel like they're alone in this, that they're the only ones, and you're not. So I think it's so important to just talk about it.
Yeah,
isolation all the way. Fear and isolation. I mean, those are some top tactics that the devil likes to use. But he will not prevail, because, you know, all of us, we're going to work together to help each other and to show each other love and kindness and point them to Jesus, who ultimately, you know, can kind of help you walk through some of those things and bring you real joy and peace and understanding. So, and
I love that. I love that. That's a great twist to, you know, it might not be you carrying that guilt, but it might be projected onto you by other people. And, just to stand firm in your truth and remember who they're partnering with and the lies that they're, conceding to. So I think that's so important to see it from both views.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a really good point too, to talk about. Cause I didn't think about that side. Cause I've been fortunate. I haven't had really anybody point fingers at me. I'm the one who's looked in the mirror and pointed at myself. And that certainly would have made things even more challenging, I think.
Absolutely.
To have somebody I trusted do that. So, if that is the case for you, you know, reach out to us. Like, we'd love to talk with you more about that and give you some encouragement. And, you know, give our own little tidbit of advice beyond what we've just talked about here. But, so
and we also encourage you to stand firm in that truth yourself at home and start speaking that truth into your family and over those family members. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, it will move your whole family in ways that you've never imagined. And, you know, playing, music, faith-based music in your home, saying blessings over your house, because, you know, in order to stop partnering with those things, we need blessings coming in.
And those are things that you need to have speaking into your life every day, because they really speak to your true value. Cause I think guilt can bring us towards this idea of that we're not worth it too. You start to kind of go in that direction too. And so that's a really tough place to be in, is to believe that your worth is based off of what you did or didn't do. And we've kind of touched on that a little bit. And I remember we wrote this down about, talking about real value and where does it come from, and where does it come from? I love asking Sarah questions just to see how she like responds.
Putting me on the spot.
Where does it come from, Sarah? Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was going to be my answer. It comes through knowing Jesus. And I feel like that seems cliche in a way. That seems like such a cliche answer, but truly digging deep into your relationship, he will speak worth over you. It says in the Bible, I don't remember the verse exactly, but the Father sings over you. He delights in you. And, I just want to encourage everybody who's listening to imagine that, imagine Jesus singing over you, like close your eyes and have that visual and feel that love. Because you are worth so much to him, and it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you think about yourself, what you think about other people, he will always be there to forgive you tenfold and open, you know, his loving arms towards you. Mm-hmm. So we just encourage you to press in and find your value and your worth, in him. And once you do that, again, it's like that house that we build on that rock. There ain't no wind that's going to sweep you away.
No storm
that's too strong.
You'll know that no matter what comes, no matter what someone says about you or to you, whether it's a stranger, a friend, someone you love, a spouse, you know, yourself, you'll know that you are truly loved, valued, worthy. You see what I did there? your kids as well. You'll know who you are, you know who you belong to, and you won't be so easily shaken. And so you notice I threw that little tagline in there, the love that surpasses tagline, which is
loved, valued, worthy.
The whole reason why she put that on there. Absolutely, because we all are. Yeah.
Every single one of us.
Yeah. So if y'all haven't seen, you know, Sarah actually created onesies and stuff like that, that say loved, valued, worthy, shirts and stuff like that too. So y'all should definitely go check that out.
On our merchandise website. You can find them at www.lovethatsurpasses.org.
And, I love too, that some of the onesies were named or were like, inspired by certain individuals, certain kids and stuff. So that's really cool. And then we created one with the arrows. That one's a really popular one.
It's very popular. It has three arrows that represent trisomy 21, and that represent the three chromosomes, and that the arrows are pointing up to represent that the parents, they keep rising and pushing forward. And then on the back, it has our logo.
Yeah.
It's I almost wore that one today.
Okay. Well, you should on the next episode. Next yeah. I love that shirt. That was also a fun design to work on too. I think that was the second one we did after the sticker. But yeah, I love that one. That one turned out super cute. Okay. So I'm sorry, off topic. I feel like we really dived pretty deep into that and talking about how we unravel those lies and how we recognize the weapons that the devil's using against us to really, you know, keep us in that place of guilt where we isolate ourselves from everyone around us and even God. And so if that's you, you know, we just kind of want to pray over you and give you some encouragement. I feel like this is a good place to close. So just, I hope that you'll just join us in that prayer and close your eyes and really just embrace the words that we're speaking over you and over your family and your children. And who prayed on the last episode? Was it me or you? You, me. I think it's me. I think it's my turn.
Well, okay. You put me on the spot once. So yes.
All right. Okay. All right, everybody. We're going to close our eyes and bow our heads. If you're driving, just keep your eyes closed and just, you know, maybe one hand up. Except embrace it.
Please keep your eyes open if you're driving. Yeah,
don't close your eyes and drive. That's dangerous. Okay. Lord, thank you so much. This was truly a blessing to be a part of, to have these kind of conversations. Lord, I know that our goal here is to come and have these conversations so that we can bless others, so that we can just extend that love out to anyone who's listening. But it is also truly blessing us. These are such good conversations, good reminders to have as we go through life and go through the ups and downs and weather those storms that life brings, much like today, you know, getting a diagnosis for my son and just seeing where he needs assistance. That can be a real tough situation to be in, but because we are rooted in you, Lord, and we know what you say about our children and about our lives and the hand that you have over us, Lord, we know that everything's going to be okay. We know that you have a grand plan and that you're going to use these things to do incredible, incredible things in your name, that, that you have called us each by name. You know us, you stitched us in our womb, and you know exactly who we are and what we're going to do and what we're going to become. So Lord, I just ask that you help soften the hearts of these parents to remember that you know us and you know our children, and you alone are the one that we should put our worth in when it comes to ourselves, when it comes to our families, Lord. And I just ask that when we approach our days and we approach these circumstances, Lord, that we will remember who you are and that you're in control, and that you'll continue to show up in miraculous ways to just remind us of just how wonderful and loving you are, Lord. And I ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for following along this episode. We are so glad you're here with us today. We hope you will join us in the next episode. What is the next episode going to be? Do you have it pulled up?
I do actually. It's episode 5. And it's counting others' blessings, which really kind of talks about jealousy, which is, I know, right? I'm like, this is going to be a good one to talk about because we've all felt that, at some point. Oh, yeah. And, so anyways, that's going to be a really good discussion. Yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering if that one was one of the part one and part two, but no, we have that one's later on. We've sort of planned some of these out because we know what we want to talk about. So I hope you all join us on the next episode. So Sarah, where can they find more information about when to hear episodes, where they can find Love That Surpasses, and just anything else?
Yeah, you can sign up for our newsletter. We will send one out and you can stay up to date on the latest events, episodes. You can find that at www.lovethatsurpasses.org. It's all the way at the bottom. You can sign up for that. And then you can always request a bag of hope. If you are a family that has a prenatal or postnatal diagnosis of Down syndrome, we do ship them internationally, which is really exciting. When we have new countries to send to, you can also find that link and form on our website. Again, www.lovethatsurpasses.org. Be sure to check us out on social media. You can follow me personally on my personal Instagram at Love That Surpasses. And then the ministry one is at Love That Surpasses Ministries. Mm-hmm. Megan, how can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram with Megan Bushalon. I'm also go by Chasing the Sun because that's just my life goal is chasing. That's actually my tattoo. If those of you who know that or not, it's just sort of my motto for life, but, you can find me there also on YouTube. This podcast is actually going to be on YouTube too. So you can watch us and our interactions and our crazy facial expressions. I'm definitely more theatrical than, Sarah is. I make all kinds of like weird faces. But you can definitely watch us there too, if you prefer, you know, something more visual than listening, through Spotify or Apple, cause that's where you can,
or if you want to see our pets.
Yes, our pets. I didn't bring Haley in. Maybe the next episode I'll let everybody see Haley or something. Because if I let her up here, she'll never leave. Okay, well, that's it, right? We'll see y'all in episode five. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.